Case number 21-3294, Ohio versus Gina Raimondo et al. Oral argument is not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Flowers for the appellant.
Mr. Flowers, couple requests. First, Mr. Stern speaking, please mute your microphone. Otherwise, sometimes we get background. I think you, like Mr. Stern, know this. And the second is, I see on the paper you want 3 minutes for rebuttal. Is that still accurate?
That is, Your Honor.
Okay, you may proceed.
Thank you, and may it please the court. I'd like to begin by explaining why it is that I'm here. Our office didn't sue the Bureau simply to pick a fight with the Bureau. We sued because we represent the people of Ohio, and those people voted overwhelmingly for a constitutional amendment that would fix our redistricting process. But the February 12th decision threatens to thwart the process that they just adopted. For one thing, the schedule the decision announces will make it impossible to carry out redistricting in the constitutionally preferred manner. And maybe worse, the schedule threatens to diminish the trust in the process that the people of Ohio so recently adopted. We all know that.
Mr. Flowers, I understand after February 12th and between February 12th and perhaps March 31st, why you sued. But I'm trying to figure out, particularly in view of the amended declaration, what are you still trying to accomplish? Or maybe putting it a different way, what do you want either this court or the district court to do in light of when they say they now will have this information available at the earliest possible opportunity?
Yes, Judge McKee, and I'm glad you asked, because what I was going to say is the good news is after, in light of that declaration, I think the declaration points the way forward here. We need the data in order to conduct this redistricting, and we've now seen through that declaration that it is possible for the court to order relief that will ensure Ohio can carry out its redistricting and that it can do so without upsetting the census process.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Flowers, but if you get the legacy data by August 16th, would that suffice?
That would, to at least some extent, redress our injuries. Now, we sought it by July 31st, so I don't think I can say it would give us everything we want. But at the very least, it would redress the injuries, and that establishes redressability, because it would open up it would give us at least the option to use this in the process, make it possible. So to Judge McKee's question and what we would like, it's good that they're planning to get it done by August 16th. But as we've seen in the history of this sort of census over the last year, sometimes their plans don't come to fruition. And so a court order requiring that it be done by then is what we're ultimately looking for. That's the very latest.
Why would either we or the lower court issue an order that says that date then becomes inviolate when we or the lower court has no idea what problems might arise between now and then?
Well, I think the reason for that is, A, we've shown that we're entitled to relief under the APA, that their February 12th decision violates the APA. And so the question is how best to remedy the injury we suffered from the delay of that data. At this point, we all agree that we can't make them give us the data by March 31st, as they were legally required to do, because that date's come and gone. But what we can obtain is something that redresses our injury to at least some extent. And that would be an order requiring them to do something they say they can do. And incidentally, they've said they can do that even in the initial declaration. So I don't think the court has to worry too much about much changing there. Now, if it does change, of course, the court can revisit.
Yeah, excuse me. Judge Dodd for here. Are you saying that you want firmly of the opinion that February 12th press release is subject to the APA, and what would make you think so? I mean, it's been modified since then. There have been other press releases with a status report. It just doesn't have the final agency determination quality that we usually see when an agency supposedly violates the APA.
So my answer to your question is yes, it is final agency action, and I can explain why. It's, to be clear, it's not the press release necessarily, it's the final agency action. It's the decision that the press release announces. So if you look at what the agency itself has said, it says that it is finalizing a schedule for the release of this data. And not only does that schedule involve an end date, September 30th, but it also details the manner in which the data will be released. So instead of releasing it on a rolling basis, as had been done in the past, the agency committed to releasing it all at once. That the definitive nature of the determination, and it is, they haven't amended the decision. They've just provided other updates along the way, but that schedule remains in force. It's controlling in the field right now and under Appalachian Power. That's enough for the consummation of final agency action. So then the only remaining question in the final agency action analysis is whether the decision decides the legal rights and obligations of parties or has legal consequences. The government, frankly, has forfeited any argument on that because their brief does not make any argument on that prong. But even if the court wants to consider it, it's plain that it did have legal consequences because it committed the Bureau to violating the Census Act, which inflexibly requires that the data be provided on March 31st. The statute says it has to be provided by then in any event, which excludes the possibility of any exceptions. That's what the Bureau told the Supreme Court and other courts earlier in this process. So we have the final agency action. We have an action that's contrary to law. That gives us the APA violation. On irreparable injuries, again, the government...
Excuse me, if it is a violation and the remedy is to set aside that February 12th final determination, what do you get from that?
So what we would seek is not only to set it aside, but the court can also issue injunctive relief to ensure that our injuries are addressed. So that would be, again, at the very least, an order saying they have to turn over the legacy data by August 16th. Now, our preference would be for the court to resolve. Sorry.
The problem with that is you're asking for a preliminary injunction, but in fact, if we put an order down like that, you win. It's not a preliminary thing. It's you take the case.
So let me explain why I don't think that's the case. If the court were to issue, I have two answers, really. First, it's not the case. And second, even if it were, it wouldn't change much. To the first point, what we're seeking to do is restore the pre-February 12th status quo. So they're not, at least as to Ohio, proceeding as though this is the schedule in force. And they'll plan to get it done by the 16th. If they're able to show if something changes or they come up with a legal argument we haven't heard yet, and they went on the merits, then we would not win the permanent relief. But even if the court wants to view it as permanent relief, the only thing that changes is the first prong of the four-part injunction analysis. The likelihood of success turns to actual success. And since it's a purely legal question, those are really the same analysis here. For the reasons I gave, it's a final agency action. It unambiguously violates the law. The census doesn't even dispute that. So we have the APA violation. Any injuries we've suffered are irreparable. We can't sue for damages later. And again, the government makes no argument to the contrary. So what we're really seeking is, I should put this in two parts. First, at the very least, send it back for a resolution on the merits. And then alternatively, we ask the court to go a little bit further and to help expedite this, at least resolve the purely legal issues, which are whether we prevail on the merits, and we're fine having that done on actual success versus likelihood, and also irreparable harm. And the court can figure out whether and how to craft the injunction that will actually make sure we get that data to make this process work. Again, we're not here.
Mr. Flowers, so can I ask you back to the legacy data? So just so it's clear, the legacy data would be sufficient for you to perform your constitutional obligation under the Ohio Constitution, correct?
Yeah, we believe that's right. And the reason for that is the legacy data is, in terms of accuracy, the same data that will go out on September 30th. It's just formatted differently. And it's the data that was used in 2000 and 2010. So yes, an order giving us that data would enable us to use that. If for some reason it turns out we can't use it, then it may be that the state has to say it's unavailable and we'll have to use something else. We'll be forced to invoke a backup plan. But yes, we believe that would redress the injuries.
I mean, why isn't the solution, instead of a court order that the United States would probably want to avoid, although I'll ask Mr. Stern, just to sign a settlement agreement along the lines of the declaration that the federal government promises to give it to you by August 16th. And if not, that settlement agreement could be enforceable in court.
Sure. I think that could be a resolution here. It's not been offered to us. My understanding is the Bureau would likely resist that simply so they're not bound, but that could get us, at least if it's binding in court, to where we need to be.
And can I ask you one other question? Did Ohio choose its dates in the Constitution based on the Census Act dates?
So the Census Act dates were enforced when we amended it. This is a constitutional amendment that put these two dates in. So I can't say that every voter was aware of the Census Act or that even the legislators were, but this date's been in place for quite some time. So yes, there would have been some reliance on that.
Okay.
Judge Sitar, when you proposed to counsel just a minute ago, your voice dropped at the end, and I didn't catch what the full proposal was.
That why they need a court order versus a settlement agreement with the federal government that merely enforces the date that the federal government has promised to turn it over.
Okay, we can discuss that later. I'm having trouble hearing all of it. That's all. But we're going to go on.
Mr. Flowers, can I ask you one other question?
Yeah.
Just because we've got a standing issue as well, and we've discussed mostly remedy, can you explain the informational injury in light of Public Citizen and Aiken?
Absolutely. So an initial matter, that's one of the four injuries we allege, and we only need one of them to suffice. But the informational injury, as Your Honor notes, Public Citizen and Aiken show that when a party has a statutory right to information and it's withheld, they can sue to get that information. That's an Article III injury. And that's what we have here. The Census Act entitles us to the redistricting data. It says that it shall be provided and by a certain date. We haven't gotten that. And so that's really a quite easy route to Article III. If you think about this like a FOIA case, if a party sued under FOIA because they want information, they want to monitor a particular political actor or something of that nature, they would have standing to do that. Before I sit down, if I could just reiterate what I started with, and maybe this goes to the settlement question. I'm sorry.
Counsel, but here's my question. Those other cases involving informational injuries had to do with information that actually existed at the time that the injury was proposed. And we still don't have the information that you want in this case, according to those declarations. And I'm pretty certain you haven't proved that any of that is, in fact, not valid. So I have a hard time understanding how there can be an informational injury when the information is not yet in existence. Can you explain that?
Sure. Two answers to that. The first is that while that was true in those cases, I don't think anything turned on that. The party had a statutory right to the information and they weren't given it. Whether it can be developed, I think, goes more to redressability.
Do you have a case where the information wasn't in existence and they were still, quote, given the information?
And so that would be the second part of my answer, which is the U.S. House of Representatives case we cite. It's a D.C. District Court case in which the House of Representatives sued, I believe, the Bureau and the Secretary about the apportionment data. And what they said is you're conducting sampling instead of going out and actually counting the number of citizens, and that won't give us the information we're entitled to because it's not accurate enough. And the court said that that was an informational injury that satisfied Article 3.
Mr. Falkins, is it accurate to say that the information doesn't exist, or is it a better way to look at it that it exists, but it is yet to be collated and organized in a way that at least the Census Bureau believes it would be useful to disseminate it?
It's the latter. And we know that the data was all collected by October 15th. They're now processing it. They have to go through privacy protections to protect citizens' identities and things of that nature. But yes, the Census Bureau has the information it's using to put together this data. It just doesn't have the compiled data yet.
But counsel, you said part of why you all need this goes back to the Constitution, the state Constitution, in order to win the trust of the people. But if the information is not let yet completely collated and accurate and tested and all the rest of what they're doing, do you think the people of Ohio will be benefited by information that isn't completely trustworthy and accurate?
Well, that's why I was so heartened by the declaration yesterday, because it shows that the data will be complete, just in a legacy format, but the data will be complete and accurate by mid-August. And if we can get that by then, the date they're already planning on, that redresses our injury, and it allows the census to do it, to conduct the census in an organized fashion. And that, again, brings me back to where I started, which is we're not We didn't bring suit to try to bully the census. It's not just some abstract desire to have them follow the law. We brought suit because we really do need this data for the redistricting process to go on smoothly.
Even though the Constitution of the state of Ohio permits you to go forward by alternative means and not strictly based on the census information.
Oh, that's correct, because even if we do that, A, we have to develop the data, which at this point would be incredibly controversial, not to mention expensive, and whatever data is selected is going to be attacked by partisan actors and then litigants when they inevitably bring us to court and challenge them and try to cast doubt on this redistricting process we just adopted, which in the end is really attacking the democratic process on which that depends on those maps.
The problem is that we are still in the midst of a pandemic. All of this is not the Census Bureau being obtuse. That may be why you feel it necessary to say we're not bullying the Census Bureau. I mean, there's a reason why all of this happened. And now they're doing their best to get the information out.
And I'm certainly not casting aspersions on particularly line level census bureaus. I think there may have been, we didn't get discovery, so we don't know what the, more higher up administrative officials were doing and why there were delays, but that doesn't really matter at this point, because again, they say they can get us the legacy data, which is completely accurate and can be compiled not only without expediting things, but without exposing anyone to COVID danger. All of this is done at a desk. The data was collected in the field by October. So we don't have to worry about them having to, go out in public and interact with others and risk catching the virus. This is just the compiling of the data. And they've now said that they can get that done. They can provide the data and that will help the states, including Ohio, and it will do so without jeopardizing the census operations.
So essentially what you're saying, as I understand it now, the relief that you've been seeking has changed as the facts have changed. We understand that. You really want a court to hold the Census Bureau to their prediction in this latest declaration that you'll have the legacy data by a certain date, right?
That's right, because the way I would put it...
I'm not asking for an explanation. Yeah. So you're not asking that anybody order it to be produced earlier than what is in the declaration, right?
We would still prefer it earlier, but we think at the very latest it should be that August 16th date.
Okay, now let's assume that the Census Bureau intends to do that, and that date comes and goes, or it gets close to that date, and for some expected or unexpected reason, it's not going to be possible to do that nationwide. Is Ohio expecting to be treated preferentially, and you get the data on August 16th, regardless of whether the Bureau is in a position to produce this legacy data to the other states on that same date?
I think I have two answers to that. First, we're seeking the Ohio-specific injunction, so it would run to us. It wouldn't be nationwide. And as it is possible that Ohio could get preferential treatment, but let me try to explain why I don't think that's worrisome here. First, the only other state that sued for early release is Alabama, and that's even predicated on the September 30th release. So even if getting us the legacy data on the 16th moved the date for the others back a few days, and we don't know that it would. There's some declarations suggesting it could move it back a few days. There's really no reason to suspect that will harm those states. We're in a unique situation because of our constitutional deadlines. Other states have methods, like apparently California can ask the Supreme Court for an extension. We can't do that. We can't amend the Constitution anymore. It's too late for that. So we are in that unique situation. And if those other states tried to sue at this point, I think there'd be a pretty devastating laches argument against them.
So the answer is yes. You want to be treated differently than the other states.
Right. I'm here just to represent Ohio. I can't, if their states didn't decide to sue and seek.
Isn't it possible that if Alabama has done this, the other 25 states, when they see you get this order, will jump in too? I mean, what's to keep them from doing that? They've got constitutional considerations also.
Well, some of them have much later deadlines, so it's not clear they'd have a good argument. And then in addition to that, they have the laches problem. The February 12th decision is so named because it happened on February 12th. And at that point, the legacy data, no one thought the legacy data would work. The census was saying it wouldn't be good enough. And that's apparently no longer true. But at that point, states had all the notice they needed to bring suit. If they didn't do it, and we're now in May or, you know, June, whenever this happens, it's getting a little late in the day for them to bring that suit and not have a pretty bad latches argument against them. Or good latches argument against them, a bad argument for avoiding latches.
Any further questions for Mr. Flowers?
No.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Stern.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the court. And at this point, sort of as things have sort of, you know, as Your Honor suggested, things have sort of evolved, both sort of, I think, at Ohio's end and with sort of the development of the sort of, you know, sort of understanding about the role that the legacy data can play in terms of getting things to states that want the material sort of earlier. It's perfectly accurate. It's not sort of like sort of in with sort of all of the things that they could get later.
So explain that to me just so I understand it. Is there any difference between the legacy data and the new fancy kind of way you're going to present the data? The data is the same. It's just two different formats, correct?
That's basically right. And some things that the sort of that the Census Bureau like would do a lot more stuff to it so that like it can be immediately usable sort of without sort of additional processes by the states. But the material is exactly the same. The final material is just based on that same data.
So that information is now available, but it's not prepared to go out. And what the Census Bureau is doing between now and hopefully August 16th is getting the legacy data usable, so to speak. And then I'm making these dates up other than August 16th, between now and September 30th, you're going to make it much more user-friendly. The August 16th is the old way, the way everyone used to do it. And now, like all technology, the Census Bureau is thankfully advanced, and you're going to provide the very same data in a much easier-to-use form. Is that accurate?
Yes. My understanding is that some of what the Census Bureau declarations refer to sort of as toolkits, like were always, like, so you would have gotten some of that stuff that would come in later. You might have gotten it simultaneously with the legacy format data, but you always got, there's, you know, as, you know, Mr. Flowers, you know, correctly says, that's what you're doing. And the reason they call it legacy format is because it's a legacy of the prior censuses. So it's all of the information, you know, that is required, and censuses, the declaration notes, is also trying to reach out with states to make it just as usable, you know, as possible, and will be continuing to do so.
Why not avoid a bad order for the United States and just resolve the case with Ohio and promise to give it to them by a date you say you can produce it?
Well, I'm hoping that I don't need to avoid a bad order, since I think we're correct. What we have is a sworn declaration from the Census Bureau saying this is when we expect it to be.
But you had from Ohio's perspective, I think it's fair to say, and I think you'd probably agree, at one point you had a statutory command of March 31st. You went to Congress and asked for an extra 120 days. They didn't act. And then you unilaterally, arguably, did it anyway. And so from Ohio's perspective, what's to bind you to that, right? I'm sorry to ask a long question, but I'm sure you appreciate Ohio's predicament.
I mean, yes and no, Your Honor. I mean, the whole point of the Census Bureau obviously understands like the importance of getting this to the states, and it's working to do that. And when Census Bureau officials say, this is what we're doing, and by the way, as Mr. Flowers noted, that this August 16th date is there in previous declarations too. This isn't something that got invented just now. If you go back to the earlier Thieme and Whitehorn declarations that were filed at the beginning, and they explain the tabulation sections, I think there's a Thieme declaration from about paragraph 78 on.
I'm looking at that. He says, though, right, that at that point in the older declaration, he didn't think it would be as usable as now, where you talk to all those companies.
Oh,
Go ahead.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's but the point is that it was always, everybody always under, this was always a key step in the whole process. I mean, there's no way that the Census Bureau could leap over that. And the date for that was always the 16th. And so what's happened is that Census has thought, like looked at it harder, thought, no, we can do more to make this usable. It's been reaching out and doing that. But the date has always been the same. And the Census Bureau really can't go around entering into sort of like settlement agreements. And by the way, I think there are other plaintiffs in that Alabama lawsuit too. I don't think it's just Alabama. But like when we say we're going to like do something, like what would, you know, a settlement agreement, even if that were appropriate, and I don't think we'd be able to sell that idea to anybody, is like all it could say is, we will do this unless something unexpected comes up that I cannot now foresee, but we expect to have it. I mean, that's all an agreement could say.
So let me ask you about standing then. Why hasn't Ohio suffered an informational injury under Aikens and Public Citizen?
Well, I mean, I think there are a couple of reasons. First, there's a difference between, and you know, I think this goes back part to Judge Doherty's point, this what we're talking about is this what they want, and over, and I think that this has sort of developed over time. What Ohio now clearly understands that it wants and is saying it wants is the census data that is the gold standard. And what we've always said is, yes, that's what we want to give you. And at this point, our views, sort of, other than the fact that Mr. Flowers thinks that, like, is entitled to like an order, are starting to look very similar. We both want to get that gold standard to Ohio and other states on the 16th.
Sorry to interrupt you, but that doesn't answer my question, which is, Ron, the government can't hide and say, we can't give you the FOIA data so you don't have standing, or we can't give you this data so you don't have standing. Clearly they have an injury in fact under those cases.
Well, I mean, but the FOIA data, FOIA, I mean, by its terms, only requires the government to give documents that are in existence and does not require it to compile any new documents.
I'm sorry to interrupt you one more time, but that seems to go to redressability, doesn't it? In other words, and potential remedies that are available and not to injury in fact, per se.
Okay, I'm sorry, Ron, I wasn't focusing on, you said injury in fact, but I was partly going straight to redressability. And the other thing is that no one is saying that you're not entitled to get this. We're not saying you're not entitled to this information. So, it's a question of timing.
No, just so we agree on injury in fact, then let me walk you through my thoughts on redressability and get your thoughts. If every Census Bureau worked to get Ohio its data first, could it produce it on a substantially expedited basis?
I've asked the Census Bureau that question exactly and was told no.
But why? You were originally going to do a rollout in Seriatim. If you were ordered to do that, wouldn't Ohio get it by August 16th, which you're saying you're going to roll out to 50 states? I'm talking about the legacy data.
No, but this is now water under the bridge. I mean, these declarations do explain in some detail like how things were done. Decisions were made, and they can't unravel the way those decisions were made at this point because they all work together.
I may agree with you for remedy purposes, but you agree with me redressability and remedy are different, I'm sure. Let me just ask this and then you can answer it all.
I'm sorry.
If assume every person in Ohio, if the Census Bureau could work on Ohio's information alone, could they get it to them sooner? Is it possible?
Your Honor, I really don't think so. But what, to the extent, I mean, we're here at this point and we're sort of talking about facts that, like, if these things are relevant, they should be looked at by the district court where we can produce, you know, whatever evidence and Mr. Flowers can ask whatever questions. I mean, our point here, you know, and like if the court thinks they're standing, what Ohio's brief says, you do nothing more than to remand. Our view would be what the court should do if the court thinks they're standing is to remand. We will provide sort of status reports on a frequent basis to advise the court if there's any departure, like for some reason from that August 16th date.
That sounds like a perfectly reasonable compromise. But let me ask this then on that. So you've spent 5 pages in your brief contesting standing. What's your best argument that there's not standing? Because as you can see, I'm struggling with how there's no standing here in light of the Supreme Court precedent.
I mean, you see, I don't think that their standing is informational. I think that to the extent that their standing was that if what Ohio had come in saying is like what they are hurt by is like the, you know, and this was not how this got teed up originally. What they want is the gold standard and, you know, census. And the problem was when Ohio came in and said, I want it by the 31st or as soon as possible, you know, thereafter. And census is going, look, it's not even in existence, like let alone the gold standard. And so what the judge says is like, look, I mean, apart from, you know, sort of look, you can't say just that like you need this because of the Ohio Constitution, because you've got alternatives in the Ohio Constitution. Now I could see if like your point is that you want sort of like better data. He goes, but and he says, look, but you're when you say that if you don't get this now, this was gonna like ruin public confidence in the integrity of the data. He says, look, that's crazy. What you want is gonna undermine. And so that's where the district court was looking at it.
Don't those all go to equitable factors versus whether or not they're standing? In other words, standing is a pretty simple inquiry. The Supreme Court tells us that informational injury is enough, except for the sake of argument that the data exists, which I presume it does, since some of your declarations say it does. They just say it's not in usable format. It's obviously traceable. I don't even think you debate that in your brief. And it is possibly redressable. And then the question goes to what's the appropriate remedy? And I think your remedy is just as reasonable as any, which is send it to the district court and let the district court ensure that it gets out by the date you say it can.
I mean, I think at this point in the litigation, you know, I just want to make clear because like, you know, we're here, there's a district court that ruled for us. And I want to make clear that from what the district court had before it at that time, we think that the court made some like perfectly good determinations. I'd also think that given where we've evolved, given that at this point, Mr. Flowers and Ohio are making clear that what they want is the gold standard and that they will be harmed if they don't get it. And we're saying in a declaration that there's October 16th, Mr. Flowers says, okay, if that works, you know, not ideal, but that works, then what the court should do now is to remand. We will file sort of, you know, like updates, you know, like whatever schedule the district court, you know, sort of thinks appropriate. And, you know, our expectation is very much, you know, we've obviously, you know, this was a declaration filed yesterday and, you know, and the Census Bureau knew it was responding to an order of this court in particular. And, you know, they don't say these things lightly, you know. And so that's what I think, you know, like would be the appropriate path and that the court need not therefore resolve anything else. I mean, because if I thought the court really wanted to resolve a lot of things, I would like to talk about why we're right about sort of all sorts of things in here, sort of including, you know, sort of like the standards, you know, look of Southern Utah and so forth. You know, I don't think that we need to, but I would like, if the court is thinking along those lines, I would love the opportunity to address any questions or thoughts the court may have.
I mean, Mr. Stern, from my personal perspective, if you were being intransigent, I would be inclined to push you on that. But I candidly think you've come up with a reasonable solution to the case. So I'm not going to push you on that. And I'll push Mr. Flowers on why the court should go further.
I appreciate it, Your Honor.
Judge McKeager, Judge Daughtry, any questions?
The only question I have left is whether by putting down some kind of official order, we would be ordering the agency to do what the agency is busy trying to do.
Your Honor, I'm glad you asked that, because I want to clarify, we're not suggesting that there should be an order compelling the agency. I hope I wasn't misunderstood. What I'm saying is that given where we are, and if the court thinks that they're standing, which it seems to give some indications that it does, that the appropriate course would just be to remand to the district court. If there are any remaining disputes, obviously the court could hear those, but the most important thing would be that we would just report to the court to advise it that we're still on track, which is certainly where we expect to be. If for any reason things start to get off track, sort of, that would obviously be something for the parties in the district court to deal with immediately if that happened.
Yeah, and I understood you to be saying exactly that, Mr. Stern. Any further questions?
I have none.
Judge McKeague?
No, thank you.
Mr. Stern, thank you very much for your thoughtful argument and your brief as well. Mr. Flowers, you have 3 minutes, and you should address why Mr. Stern's proposal is not or is unreasonable in your mind, because it seems perfectly reasonable in mine.
Sure. Well, I'll make 3 points, and that will be my third. My first one is simply there was a suggestion that we've kind of changed what we're seeking. That's not true. What we've sought is the decennial census data. We did not know that it could be that we could get it in a legacy format and still use it. That's become clear. And so the only thing that's shifted is what form we could get it in, not whether we could get it. Second, on redressability, Judge Thapar, you asked a question about.
Wait, can I ask you about that? So you agree that getting the legacy data in a usable form suffices to meet all the needs Ohio has?
I don't think. Yeah, I think it, at least on the evidence we have, there's no basis I have for disputing that.
OK, great.
And then on redressability, you just asked if everyone theoretically worked for Ohio's, could it be sped up? The Census Bureau has actually never denied that. If you look at paragraph 26 of Whitehorn's declaration below, he says it could be sped up by a few weeks, and that's even the final data. And now we know, of course, it can be August 16th, even without prioritizing Ohio. And then finally, I'll come to your question,
Mr. Flowers, before you leave that, why would any court entertain ordering them to speed it up when you've just admitted that you can utilize the legacy data and utilize it on a timely basis under the Ohio Constitution if you get it by August 16th?
You're asking why would any court order them to go even faster if it can order them to do it by the 16th? We think we need an order to get them to do something. The reason to go faster is because every day we don't have it is a breach of the obligation. And if they can get it to us without compromising the integrity of the census, it would further redress our injuries by making it even easier to use.
But you agree, let me follow up on that, because I agree with Judge McKeague. You agree that in balancing the remedy, the equitable factors come into play. And there's no, that my question went not to remedy, but to redressability. In other words, and so maybe I wasn't clear, and I apologize to Mr. Stern if I wasn't. If they were ordered to do that, surely they could get Ohio the data sooner. And as you point out, I'm looking at the paragraph now, they concede that. But that goes to redressability. Remedy balances the very equitable factors Judge McKeague's talking about. You agree with that, right?
Exactly right. And that allows me to, I think, to segue to your question about what's wrong with Mr. Stern's resolution. In some ways, I'd say nothing. I agree it would be appropriate to let the district court decide precisely what any injunction should say and if it's appropriate. What we ask is that the court address the two purely legal issues of whether we prevail on the APA claim and irreparable injury. And the reason we ask the court to address that now is because if we go back down, get an adverse ruling on that, then we're back up here and it may be too late to actually go back and get the relief later.
Mr. Flowers, why couldn't we just must panel it? We're aware of the arguments. You've briefed them all in front of us. We could take it on an expedited and emergency basis. And with Zoom, I mean, we could schedule it right away. So it seems to me the best, and this is a former district judge talking, and so I'm biased, but it seems to me that the best resolution is Mr. Stearns, which is you all could go back and you could, they could provide you an update. They've given a declaration. It seems not unreasonable for, if they keep saying this is the date, for everyone to operate under that assumption, and kind of Ohio and the federal government, as you said at the outset, all get along.
I mean, that I don't mean to say that that is an unreasonable remedy.
Okay.
We request a little bit more. I don't want to backtrack that too much, but I'm happy to come back if we need to by Zoom or even to drive down to Cincinnati.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Mr. Stern would love a trip to Cincinnati if it's safe.
So, well, if there are no further questions, we ask that you reverse and appreciate Your Honor's time and hearing this on an expedited basis.
Any further questions, Judge McKeague, Judge Daughtry?
No, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Flowers and Mr. Stern, thank you both very much for doing this. And thank you for your thoughtful briefing and your excellent arguments. The case will be submitted. We really appreciate having such excellent litigants in front of us.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you.
This honorable court is now adjourned.